Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad you were able to join me today, and we're willing to spend these next few minutes together as we share the good things of the Lord. The last several days, we've been talking about the glory of God. And as we looked at Scripture and just in the lives of a few of those who were used mightily of God, whatever God called them to do before they were commissioned or went out in that calling or in the work that God had requested of them, they always had a revelation of the Lord. And beloved, that's what each one of us needs in our lives. You know, I was thinking of something Neil, Brother Glass's sister, told me many years ago, that they were just children. He was just a few years older than his sister, Rosemond, and they had been touched by the Lord in his service. And he told his sister, he said, God's calling me to preach the gospel. Even as a young boy, young man, he knew that God had called him, that there was a revelation of God to his heart, and this is how he wanted to devote his life, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, for every one of us, there is a plan and a purpose for our life. God does not have insignificant, unimportant, invaluable, or not valuable, I should say, members of his body. Everyone is important to him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have created you. The scriptures tell us he knew us before the foundation of the earth. He loved you before you even came into existence. And because of that, not only because of his love, he also, in his divine, beautiful plan that only the heart and mind of God could conceive, that he had a time, a season, a generation into which you were to be born, in where you would have a role and a part in the overall plan of bringing glory to God, to know, love, and serve God, to be happy with him in this life and in the one to come. That was his heart. He created all things. He created you for his pleasure and for you to give glory to him by fulfilling the deepest and most profound reason for your existence, to fulfill the very heart of God's desire for you. What a beautiful, beautiful plan this is in the heart of God. But it is important that each one of us have a revelation of God, have a personal, not only a personal experience in terms of salvation, but a personal, vibrant, real life transforming encounter with the living God, where we will know beyond a shadow of a doubt, with a conviction that nothing can be taken from us, that no amount of trouble or heartache or persecution would deprive us of the knowledge, the willingness to be able to be who God has called us to be. And once we have, and I believe it's an ongoing, increasing revelation, but we must have that initial encounter, as we saw repeatedly in the lives of the servants of God, of David, of Moses, of Paul. There was always a revelation first of John, the very book of Revelation. He has a revelation, right, of Jesus Christ. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard a voice behind him, and he turned. It was the glorious risen Lord Jesus Christ. He fell at his feet as dead, and this beloved disciple had an encounter with the Lord of glory, and he wrote perhaps the most profound work of his life, and that was the revelation of Jesus Christ, the book, that final book, which is being unveiled and unfolding even in the times in which we are living. But as a result, beloved, you and I can walk in glorious victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And beloved, you and I have to get this delivering truth into our heart and into our souls and into our bodies, every fiber of our being. We have victory through and because of Jesus Christ. Brother and sister, Jesus has given you victory. Yes, victory in your life. Victory over the trials. Victory over the temptations. Victory over the things that would confront you. The troubles, the heartaches, the persecution. He has given victory in every area. It's easy to preach that, but it's the truth. There's a victory over all the power of our adversary. Beloved, God's word is filled with promises which guarantee his help and provision for our lives. And what is our part? Well, we have to believe it. And how do we? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As you fill your mind with these glorious truths and promises, you will begin to rise up and walk in the realm of glorious victory. This victory is not going to be yours. It's already yours in the spirit realm. You've been set free by the new birth to walk in the light of that new creation. You are a new creature in Christ. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And thank God, the victory that God has for you isn't dependent on how many degrees you have or how many Sunday school certificates you have or whether or not you've had perfect attendance in church. Victory is yours and victory is mine because Jesus did the work. Thank God. If it was left to us, well, it may never have gotten done. He completed the work of redemption through his suffering, through his death, and through his resurrection. On the cross, he said, "It is finished." He was the perfect Lamb of God who laid down his life for the sins of the world. Now, what is our task? We have to appropriate the finished work. Remember the pattern, revelation of God to his servant, and then the servant has to respond. We have to appropriate by faith what Jesus has done and make it personal in our lives, not for somebody else, not for the pastor, not for the great evangelist, for your life, beloved. Then, by continuing to confess what you have in Christ, it will build a hedge, if you will, around your mind. It enables you to establish a pattern of response to situations and circumstances based on action instead of reacting because of the battle you're confronted with immediately. There's some beautiful passages found in the opening chapter of Jeremiah. And in verse 4, he says, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying," and you may have heard these words preached, oh, dozens of times before, but hear it with new hearing, because even though we know Jeremiah was a powerful prophet of God, and his words recorded are part of the revealed will of God in the Bible, nonetheless, those words apply to each one of us in varying measures. We each have a calling. And this is true for us. It says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations." In other words, he's given to every one of us, beloved, we're able ministers of the gospel of reconciliation. But what was his response? "Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." You see, look at the response of Moses. He had the same response. Oh, no, you got the wrong man, not me. We always feel that someone else can do it better, that someone else is more qualified, that I'm not able to fulfill God's calling, but that's a lie. If God's asking you, he wouldn't ask someone who was not able to be, who couldn't do what he's asked. Wouldn't that be unjust of him? And he said, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." No matter what we face, God is for us. Then, isn't that interesting? Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I put my words in thy mouth. Beloved, as he said he would write his laws on our heart, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we can speak the word of the Lord, you and I. And in verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast seen, well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. We need to begin making this confession. I have the victory through Jesus. All that I do in the name of Jesus is going to be successful. Through Christ, I'm going to enjoy victory. Beloved, you're not a loser. You're a conqueror. Some say the way that wins or the way of the winner, but I'd rather say we're conquerors. Conquerors, more than conquerors in Christ. This better describes how we stand against the wiles of the devil and through Christ defeat him. It is a battle, beloved. It requires the spiritual weapons given to us by God, but all that we have need of, he's provided. And it appropriates the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can rejoice in the midst of temptations. God said we could. The reason we can do this is that God gives us the ability and power to overcome every temptation we face. God stands at your point of trial. He will not abandon you at your moment or time of need. The grace of God is sufficient to cause us to triumph always. Praise God. And so, beloved, we have a tremendous potential, a tremendous destiny before us. We are all doing our part to allow the kingdom of God to dwell in our hearts, his righteousness, his peace, his joy in the Holy Ghost. And wherever we go, we're proclaiming the kingdom of God, the glory of God, even by our presence. You've probably heard that saying, you know, preach the gospel, if necessary, use words. Our actions, our demeanor, the very presence of God that we carry with us is a testimony to this weak and dying world. Praise God. Well, my time has just flown, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. I cannot do so without thanking you for your prayers and your constant faithfulness in the name of the Lord. I bless you for all that you do, for your prayers, for your financial help. And I want to do more and do all that I can to encourage you and to help your life be fuller and richer in Christ Jesus. That's my earnest desire. And with the Lord's help and with his anointing, it will be a glorious year, a glorious time in which we can celebrate the goodness of the Lord and the glorious victories he has given us because we've had a revelation of the glory of God. Amen. Praise God. I love you. Till next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.